I would like to continue with last week's subject, but in a slightly different way, a way which is a bit more the way in which a scholar or something like that would look at it, a way in which it would be a little bit more scholarly. Last week we talked about the difficulties of creating an association of people, creating society of people. And we spoke about it in terms of the exploitation or the trauma that can come when one is in such association. And we concluded, as our way of dealing with this, that we shall live as individuals and come and go as we like. You see, the situation which we are facing as individuals now in the modern society has been carefully documented over time by scholars. It's actually something which many people have experienced. It's a reproducible phenomenon. This difficulty has been discussed according to a theory called the modernization, it's actually called modernity, but we'll call it modernization of society. When a society becomes modernized, it starts to break down the different givens, the different things that everybody accepted without questioning it. Quickly, just to give a historical perspective on how that affected the modern world, when machines made it easy for people to live and to have more free time and to accelerate the pace of their life, the group became less important than the individual. Yes. For example, previously everybody was very dependent on the family and the extended family because the family and extended family would help them take care of all the things they had to do, would help them to make money, would help them to do the agriculture, would help them to cook, would help them to have their entertainment. But the more machines took over, the more the energy of society was produced artificially, the more people lost their dependence on large groups of people working communally. Because people could now have entertainment without having to be around big groups of people. They could listen to the radio or they could go to the movies and nowadays watch TV. To understand what was happening in the community or world, previously you needed to be together with people who talked about it and who shared information. Now you can read the newspapers, you can go on the internet, you can watch TV. You don't need other people for that. Previously, people required to work with their families in family businesses or in trades. They needed other persons around them who they worked with continuously in their village, and these people were also the people who purchased their services or goods. Nowadays you can do things from your home, from a computer, or sitting in a factory or a little office somewhere, totally separated from others. So this is not, of course, an absolute description. I mean, there are mixtures of all these things going on. But these are trends which are very important to understand. And these trends are gradually increasing as time goes by. We're becoming less and less connected to our groups and more individualized as time goes on. Individuation, it's called. So as life becomes more so-called advanced or modern, people become more alienated from their society. This is a process called abstraction, whereas life becomes more and more abstract instead of very concrete. Previously, things were very concrete. It was very real. You could reach out and touch it and understand everything by just touching it. Now everything is very abstract. You see it on screens. You see it on print media. You have ideas about things and even your work, which is separated from you. Previously, when people did things, they worked with their hands. they produced a result which was immediately manifested. Now, they may be a very small part of a very big machine and thus not understand the connection of their work to some fruit or result. So this very documented process is demonstrating how, as we become more detached from the practical reality of our activity, we enter into a world of greater abstraction, which means we are more detached from other persons. Now, although this is not an absolute principle, previously people had extended families. There were large groups of families who all lived in the same place. There were so many children and so on. So the specific intensity of the relationship between a husband and wife was not so critical. There were ways to work out these needs for relationship with other persons. There was a vast group of people to relate to. So there was allowance, there was leeway for defects or problems or disturbances between husband and wife that would still somehow maintain the structure of the environment within the family or in this community. It wasn't so serious as it is today. But because today people are more separated from, disconnected from the extended family, from their community or whatever, the relationship problems, and because of the families are smaller too, the relationship problems between husband and wife are more pronounced. They are more visible and the effect is much more serious than previously. If we think about this, what's really happening here is that things which we accepted as obvious, things which we accepted as being the stabilizing principles of our lives in the olden days, even 100 years ago, or 120 years ago, are today no longer accepted in the same way. Today we have a vast amount of choices. In the olden days, things were pretty limited. You were born in a town, you grew up in a town, you got a certain education, if you got any at all, you married a certain local person, your work was kind of fixed by the work of your parents, your economic status was also fixed in that way, there were social restrictions and so on. Things were pretty clear. There wasn't that much thinking to do. Nowadays, everything is open to question. You can do thousands of different things. You can get hundreds of different educations. You can make decisions in every different kind of way you can think of. You can move anywhere you want. You can change countries. You can change languages. You can change partners. And because of this, people require more and more psychologists, more and more therapy, more and more personal development. They need the tools spiritually by which they can survive in such an environment. Now let's consider the situation of people who have been in some kind of a traditionalist movement, which was born and bred before modernization took place. Or those people who are in religious groups, which have a very fixed philosophy, a very fixed way of looking at life, and who make the decisions that people live with, their value structures, their foundational structures are already delivered to them in a packaged form. This is what you believe. This is the way you act. This is the way you live. Like that. And this is the group of people that you do it with. It's not even so important who you marry because, after all, the larger group is your family. So this mentality is a carryover from the pre-modern era. It's the carryover from a previous culture, a previous time, a previous understanding that is not affected by the influences that modern society is affected by. And because of that, it offers a kind of a refuge for people who are suffering from the pangs of modernization. It gives a shelter. It gives a shelter from having to make your own decisions. It gives a shelter from having so many choices. It gives a shelter from being disconnected from your work or from people. It gives other things, too, which are also interesting. In the pre-modern society, each person did many, many different kinds of tasks. They had a wide variety of activities that they did every day. Even if one was a carpenter, when it was time to do the harvesting and everybody was needed, they all went to the harvest. When there was a big project to do around the house, they all did that together. When there were activities to do that were needing help, they all did that together. They all had skills and abilities from different fields. There are so many doctors at that time who knew so many different things, who knew so many different forms of therapy, so many different kinds of cures, simple cures, more elaborate cures, according to the skills at the time. They were very generalized, the doctors. The teachers were also more generalized. They could teach many students in one classroom. They knew different subjects. They knew how to teach different age groups and subjects. The ladies knew how to cook and clean, of course, but they knew how to chop wood. They knew how to make fires with wood and cook on a wood stove. They knew how to do agriculture. They knew how to sew. They knew how to repair problems in the house. They knew how to take care of basic health needs and medical needs of the family. They knew how to do all kinds of things. They were experts in many different fields. Now, if you contrast this with now, if you have a problem with the skin, you have to go to a dermatologist. If you have your problem with the nose, you have to go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. If you have a problem with any part of you, you have to go to some very specific specialist who will send you to another specialist if they have to. Everything is incredibly specialized. Every little activity. On assembly lines where they make machines, a person may simply be responsible to put in a couple of screws on a board. One person may simply fix a light. Another person may simply take care of the radio. Another person may simply clean the floor. Their activities don't mix. So as the things become more specialized, we become less capable of knowing how to do a large variety of things. And we also have less variety in our life. And because we have less variety in our life, we get bored. And when we get bored, we need newer and newer diversions to enliven us. And as we need newer and newer diversions, we have to reach into all of the different possibility of diversions. And by doing this, we start to do things which may be contrary to our consciousness's best interests. So going into some kind of a religious movement or some kind of alternative movement whereby you can reject modern life and live according to the pre-modern principles, for some people is a very safe thing to do. It gives them security. It gives them a stability that they didn't have or were looking for. But in the pre-modern times, everything wasn't wonderful. I mean, people were still people. And wherever there's people, there's going to be problems. In pre-modern times, there was an enormous amount of exploitation. There was economic exploitation of the weak by the strong. There was slavery. There were serfs in Europe. There were people who worked for peanuts. And there were the very, very rich who controlled it, the landowners. There was exploitation of women. They were considered foolish, less intelligent, unable to take care of themselves. They were just supposed to look good and give pleasure to the men. They weren't supposed to have any brains. They weren't supposed to be even educated. There were so many problems that it brought the communist ideal up to try to free everybody from the exploitation of the powerful over the weak, by making an equality between them systemically in society so that there would be no more exploitation. But that had its own forms of exploitation. It had its own forms of difficulty. And another factor, which I'm about to explain, which was even more powerful than these forms of exploitation that brought down its ruination. All these ideas where you can dictate to people what they shall be, these are pre-modern ideas. Now people have choice, people are thinking, people change, people have ideals that they are developing in their own way because of the individuation that is taking place in society. The more people are individuated, the more people are able to live according to their own principles, the more they need freedom by which this may take place. So when they get this freedom, these kind of oppressive systems of belief or oppressive systems of thought or social control or economic control are rejected. You can even see it today in China, although as much China wanted to keep everybody in that pre-modern situation, the internet and their success at producing consumer goods, which are advanced, has forced them to deal with the transformation within their own country. These different forms of modernization, of mechanization and of technology, are forcing social change. Now, the problem is that it is out of our control now. Well, never really was in our control, but it's so happening so fast because as technology changes and transforms without any motivation or any guide to it other than to advance and make money with it, the society is being forced to go with that change like a boat on a river that is raging. It's almost as if the guiding principle of world development now is faster, better, cheaper, more powerful, and something that everybody wants. So we can see it's the complete opposite of the previous principles of pre-modern society, which were coming from given moral principles of some kind of religious culture, of some kind of established economic understanding between the higher classes and the lower classes. Even war has changed. You don't even have to make war in the same way anymore. You can simply have people fighting you using individuals with bombs strapped to them. You could have all kinds of forms of warfare that were unheard of previously. Small groups of highly motivated individuals can have a huge impact, even as much impact as previously it took a whole country to have. So we have a vastly different situation today than we had before all modernization of society started. Now, if you wish to maintain a spiritual association of people, it has to, underline three times, reflect the society within which that is being presented or is being lived. Of course, you can live like the Amish. There's a group here in America called the Amish. They do not have TV. They do not have radio. They don't have any modern anything. They use ox carts. They wear very traditional conservative clothing. Their morality is incredibly strong. They live as if they were living 150 years ago. They have not changed. If you reject all of modern society and live totally separate from it, as they do in large areas of America, you can survive in your older value structures. But if you live in a modern society and you are affected by it, you interact with it, you cannot have that luxury of rejecting the modern world. You must consider it and work with it because you are part of it. You cannot say, I'm not part of it just because I believe something else. Of course, you can try to do that. You can attempt to do that. But that does not mean that you will be successful at doing that. It will mean that at one point there will be a conflict on one level or another between your using pre-modern values, pre-modern ideals, when displacing them into a modern culture. There will be an enormous conflict. And it is this conflict which we have been discussing in previous lectures or previous conversations, and we have been trying to deal with through using the very modern techniques of self-healing and therapeutic discussion. And we are also using the essence of the materials or the processes which have been... Man, why is everybody having troubles with Winamp? You got to try to fix them. I can't keep having more and more people on TACOM. I don't know what to do here. Keep raising it. Sorry, everybody. Sambhartika, send your video, please. So, what was I just saying? I lost it. What did I just say, Marcia? The essence of the spirituality. Things which have nothing to do with modernization or pre-modernization or our assumptions which human beings make. You know, there's a process by which people create absolutes out of man-made things. They have a man-made structure and they create an absolute out of it. So what we are doing when we are in our particular association that we have here on Saturdays and etherically, we have the essence of the spirituality, which is the relationship with the Supreme, the relationship with the divine energy, the relationship with our own spiritual energy and with others' spiritual energy, with the deities, and with those activities which amplify that. And we are associating with each other in this way, with this kind of an understanding. In other words, we have accepted that we are individuated. We have become disconnected from each other in the group sense. We have accepted that. That's something that's a product of the society we live in. And we have accepted the fact that we have no choice but to have choice. We realize that previously we had no choice. And we liked not having no choice. But at one point we realized that was no good. Now we understand we must have choice. So we have embraced that choice and all of the society within which that choice is made possible. So we have become liberated from something which was exploiting us. We've become liberated from something which was giving us great difficulty as individuals. At the same time, we have been disconnected from a greater family of individuals. We have been disconnected from being able to perform a variety of works and functions every day. We have been disconnected from the secure and safe feeling of knowing that we were the greatest, we were the most elite, we were the best in the whole world. We had the answers that no one else had. So, in other words, what is happening is that we are more and more realizing that our liberation did not come without a price. We realize that we're having to pay for this freedom. We're going to have to pay for this new situation, which we like very much. But we're now having to understand and accept the costs. As with any cost in any transaction, you have to figure out how to earn enough to deal with the cost. It's not that you don't want to spend. You want to spend. The real issue is to figure out how to get the income to spend. So what we're really doing here is we are raising our earnings as individual spiritual energies. We are raising our individual spiritual energy. We are raising our spiritual strength within us as individuals. We are gaining great power as individuals to spend it in the cost of being free. Yet at the same time, we are worried about our being forced into the situation of such individual specialization in our work every day and our lack of community. Now, there has been an interesting transformation going on amongst those who are within the Christian tradition. And I think it's very important to speak about that. I have seen that They are transforming the way they speak. They are transforming the way they are presenting their philosophy. They are very much more in tune with the individual's choice, the individual's needs, the individual's situation. Because each of these preachers live within the modern society. They are not separate from it. They are not speaking about taking care of each other as a duty within an already established religious system. They are speaking about taking care of others out of the choice you make as a loving individual to another person. It's a subtle difference that actually reflects the reality of the present moment. So it's actually a very positive thing that's happening in the worldwide religious community, where people are starting to understand that they no longer live in a pre-modern society. Therefore, they no longer can have pre-modern philosophies and social organizations. They must adapt to the time. It's not a choice anymore. They must do it or die. Those who are not adapting are having incredible difficulties within their organizations and are filled with conflict, are filled with pain, exploitation, and fundamental cracks in their whole structure. So any modern or a relevant spiritual organization within such a social framework has to understand that it should be based upon the individual as the building block of any group, and that the group can never overwhelm the individual's freedom as a spiritual being, because it would totally contradict the capacity of that individual to function within the world. So all of the usual and typical ways in which there is exploitation of people economically or socially or whatever can no longer be utilized in such a situation. It has to be either a privately owned organization where somebody offers facilities to others for a fee, or it has to be totally voluntarily supported, where people give when they want, or publicly owned but subscription-based as a business, a publicly owned business. It can no longer be something which is operating as on the authority of God, so to speak. And what will happen is that we have to understand, those of us who deal with the creation of spiritual situations for others, that we really are of service. That it is not that we deliver knowledge or we deliver experiences or we deliver facilities with the idea to do something with it. It exists simply because it should exist, not because it's meant to do something. Now, is this possible to do? I hope so. Is it easy to do? Absolutely not. But we're working on the idea, trying to gradually figure it out. It's easy to analyze it. Well, I mean, not easy for everybody, but for those who know how to do such things, it's easy to analyze. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to give suggestions what to do. This is the easy part. Putting it in practical action, which actually works and feels good, is something quite different that needs to continually be researched, continually experimented with, continually attempted for the sake of all of us. For example, I'm really getting, right now, even with the way I'm doing these Saturday sessions, I'm getting quite dissatisfied with the format of these sessions. What I really want is that you're able to call me and I can mix our conversation into the broadcast so that people from anywhere can call me and we can speak about things with voices rather than these little instant messages or only coming from those places I'm connected with TACOMF. I want to have interactive discussions with you. Because after all, what's the use of me just sitting here and telling you my thesis for the week? Sometimes I think I just have to come up with something just to justify the fact that I'm talking here on Saturday. I don't like that. This medium that we're now using is so abstract. It's ridiculous. Here I am, all alone in my room. People are all over the world. I have no idea where. And we're all talking together, yet I am basically talking into a computer camera. I'm talking into a microphone in front of me. I see a couple of people in front of me who are just abstract two-dimensional images on a screen. I am very separated from you. Okay, sure, we can have some feeling of energy and all that, but I'm making a point here. But I want to hear you. I want to talk with you, and others want to hear what you have to say, because what you have to say is important. It's not just a luxury, it's a necessity. Yet to do that technically is mind-boggling. I know I can use Skype, but Skype uses an enormous amount of bandwidth, and those of you who have, let's say, dial-up connections won't be able to listen and use Skype at the same time. And mixing it is an impossibility because none of the TACOMF people will be able to hear the Skype conversation, even if I received it on this other computer over here. And that other computer over there is fully absorbed in transmitting and monitoring the broadcast. And this one here is already fully used. So it's like complicated because as soon as I mix this conversation in, it's going to make a loop. It's going to go back and forth in a loop, which is going to go wah, 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 wah. It's going to be impossible. So I don't know what to do, but I'm very frustrated. The only way this would work is if you called me on the telephone. But that's very expensive when you're calling from all these faraway places. So that also doesn't work. So as soon as I get some time, I'm going to try to figure out a very sophisticated system by which you can speak with me and everybody can hear it. And I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, but I know I'm going to. But it's just going to take some time. Because what I really want is that we're having an interactive discussion format here. I think it's very important. I think it will transform the way we associate as individuals instead of it's just me talking to you. And the only way we have connection is through me, which is totally artificial. I want us all to connect, to hear each other, to experience all over the world what we are thinking and feeling and how we relate. So that's what I want. I want, and if you can understand, my motive for doing this is to connect us more, to have more interaction between us. I mean, there are people out there who are so interesting. Even if you disagree completely with me, that's better than just us having no connection. And it seems that Tom has made his TACOMF program so nice in the sense that right now I'm totally connected to four people. One, complete interactivity, and the other three are just receiving my images. I'm seeing them and they're listening to me. And I don't see that we're having a problem, and I could probably do that with two more without difficulty, all at 100 kilobits a second video. So I think that there's a way around this, and I'm going to figure it out. So that's my goal for us, how I want to contribute to this association of us, the association of integrationists, or whatever it was we called ourselves last week. Yeah, that's what I felt like saying today. If there are any questions related to this, because I'd like to get your opinions about it.
I have this problem because I've been a vegetarian since I was like 13. But everybody around me eats meat and they kind of mock me because of that. I have a kind of serious trouble with watching people eat or cooking meat. And they don't understand that. They even feel offended if I don't share the meal with them. I don't know how to deal with this situation because I cannot keep myself from socializing with the people I have closest, let's say,
I understand.
I don't know how to either.
Okay. Mahashaya, what she asked was, how does she deal with being a vegetarian in a society of meat eaters? And I'll explain more about that. Way I deal with certain situations like that, sometimes I get in such situations where people expect things out of me. So I usually tell them I'm allergic. or I say that I can't handle the fat, or my doctor has forbidden me. And in this way, the way I deal with it is to, I try to take the situation away from a philosophical understanding, and I bring it to a health understanding. Using medical proof that eating meat creates colon cancer, or that it kind of creates over-acidity, or any excuse I can. I just somehow immediately put it into a health issue and don't want to talk about it very much. And people almost always accept it immediately, and I don't have trouble. But if it's your family, you can't do that, because they already know this is not true. So you have to use another kind of a way to deal with them. So, I know how I've dealt with my family, and they accepted it. I said that, you know, I just don't feel in my heart that I can partake in the killing of animals, giving them such pain, giving them such anxiety. For my sake, I don't think I need it, and it makes me feel lousy to do it, and I get in great anxiety and pain. And if they love you, then they will accept that. You can also say, I have religious reasons, if you want. But if they love you, they will accept that. And if they don't care that you are suffering in that way, then they won't accept that. And if they don't really care about you, then you should not worry or care about how they respond to your diet, because they don't really care. And ultimately, you have to care about you more than they care. You're on again.
My biggest problem is actually that when I share here with people, they don't understand that it's very cruel for me to... I consider it cruel to eat meat, so it's very hard for me to watch them eat or cook meat and to share a meal with them. Maybe it's sad otherwise they're eating, I don't know, pork or I don't know, just a barbecue. And they don't understand.
I get the point.
Yes. I don't know if it's because they offend. They get offended if I don't share that meal.
And we love these people. We love so much.
Yes. So it's hard.
I don't want to be a part of the society. I want to be with them, you know?
Okay. Mahashaya, they were bringing up the point of how difficult it is to be... living with people that you love and they don't like it when you don't eat with them, and they're eating all kinds of animal products, animal foods that, you know, are pretty hard for a vegetarian to deal with, so they don't know how to deal with that. That's the question. Well, we here deal with it like this, that if we want to eat with people who we love, we bring them to our house and feed them. Or we bring them to a vegetarian restaurant where they can order meat. Or we bring them to the Sunday feast at the temple where there is no meat. Or if we do go to their place, we make it very clear that they should eat their meat before we come or after we go. There's a little Korean girl. She's 14 years old. She lives three houses down the road here. She's a vegetarian, but nobody else in her house is a vegetarian. So her mother is all hysterical. You know, what am I going to feed her? What am I going to do? So she asked us what to do. And the little girl refuses. She will not eat meat. So she's a little little rebellion right there in the middle of the house. And it's having great impact on the parents.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Well, the thing is that I live in Argentina. This place is a place where people think that if you don't eat meat, if you're a vegetarian, that means something like you eat grass. I think that they think that rice is grass, even rice. So they feel really offended when you don't share that table with them while they eat meat, and they don't bear that situation. I think they think it's easier for you to think like them than for them to think like you. I don't know where that happens, but I find it very hard because these are people I care for, and they care for me too. I really don't know how to solve the situation. I even broke to tears the other day because I feel really unable to help it. And I can't change the way I am. I really feel sick when I see someone eating meat, pork, anything.
Okay.
I explained that you're vegetarian not for religious principles.
Yes, I know. I didn't become vegetarian because of a religious thing. I just can't stand the even view.
Okay, then I have just one last thing to say, and then we'll move on, okay? We don't have to repeat the question because the answer will make it obvious. You're on again, Marcia. So when you are with people who you love and love you, and you have this problem where they just simply can't deal with the fact that you're a vegetarian, then you have to use the very honest and straightforward technique of solution. And that is, look, there are hundreds of millions of vegetarians all around the world. Maybe in Argentina, everybody thinks that eating dead cows is the absolute truth. But all over the world, there's hundreds of millions of people, perhaps even billions of people, who don't eat meat because, first of all, they don't have it or it's not part of their culture. And so you're basically saying to them, I'm not trying to convince you to change the way you are, so you shouldn't feel threatened by me. I just don't want it. I don't want to do it. And this situation is not where you're trying to convince me and I'm trying to convince you. It's rather we're just trying to eat. So just tolerate me and I'll tolerate you and let's just live like that. And we should make some kind of a arrangement so that you don't get sick when you're eating. You tell them, what's the use of eating together if I get sick? You know, it doesn't work like that. If you care about me, why should I be sick? So you make some compromise. Whatever that compromise you can arrange. I can't tell you how to make a compromise. You figure it out. If you can. But ultimately, they have to accept that you are different than they are. That's all there is to it. And if they can't accept that, then you may have to change your friends. I don't know. You know, there's no perfect arrangement in this world. Everything is a bunch of compromises. I know that there are... when I was expressing my frustration about the format of the Saturday broadcast, it's not that I mean to stop it because there was one question like that. It's simply that I mean to modify it so that everybody can be part of it. Because like right now, what was going on with this conversation with Argentina, the rest of the people in TACOMF could not hear because you cannot connect to each other due to the way of your internet in Russia. But I'm going to work on it. And, okay, here we have some other questions from Moscow. They're asking that, obviously, even though now everything is so abstract, and even though we are so separated and disconnected, we still need to have association with real people. We really need to be together with real people. And, of course, this is naturally a situation. It's something that'll just continue. It'll get worse and worse as technology gets worse and worse. If you want to make my voice louder in TACOMF, you take the mouse, you put it over the speaker where my name is, Hari, and then you click on the speaker with the right click, and then you increase the volume right there. So it's not done with me raising my voice. It's done by you raising the tachon. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to reach out to others, because the tendency in the abstract detached society is to withdraw from others. And it is now our responsibility to connect with others, to go out of our way to connect with others in groups or associations or where people get together. Go out and reach out to them. It's your responsibility to do it. Because if you don't make that effort, then it's not going to happen. So you have to make that effort. It's very important. Kamalamala, please send your video. And so in this way, this abstract problem can be addressed, not necessarily resolved, by us going out of our way to get together with each other. Now, I don't know if that answered the question which was asked there, but as long as technology and as long as mechanism continues this trend of making it easier and more beneficial for us to live in our own little abstract worlds or disconnected worlds, then we will tend to go with that flow of energy. Here's a question about deities. We have in our house Radha and Krishna deities and Gornatai deities and Lord Shiva's family deities and Lord Nrisimhadev and Hanuman, and we have all these deities here because we like to connect with all of them and take care of all of them. It's very nice. So if you just have Gornatai and you wish you had Radha and Krishna, get Radha and Krishna. If you at least worship them once a week with bathing them, changing their dresses, and during the week you offer them food and you meditate before them and you associate with them, they'll be quite happy to live in your house. And to also, you can have these places in your own home where others can come. You can have an excuse to get together. And, you know, you can sing before the deities if you like, or just talk before the deities, or meditate before the deities, or associate before the deities, and then go somewhere else in the house. And it becomes like a way to associate. Here's an interesting question, that in former times, groups and family were more important. Isn't it sometimes better today that we have the possibility to change the groups to individual needs? I would not like to live 150 years ago again. Well, that's what we have been discussing so far. That's why I want to, for instance, right now I am using myself as this example of some of the problems or defects of the technology. Whereas I can talk at you, but you really can't easily talk to me. So I want to make a change so that we can associate and thus overcome the defect of the technology, of the broadcasting medium. So I firmly believe that there is a possibility. It's just that we have to work hard to make the group somehow or another focused on individuals, to make the group subservient to the individuals within it, or put another way, that the groups are made up of like-minded individuals who see their interests served by the group. You know, there are support groups already existing in the world which do just that. Like, for example, Alcoholics Anonymous, where people who are alcoholics can come together and try to kick their habits together. There's also groups of people who get together who have been so insane with sex and have just ruined their lives because of it. They have a support group. There are support groups for gamblers to come together, to cure themselves from gambling together. So people who have certain addictions or problems, drug addictions, they get together and with a proper guidance, work together to cure their difficulties. So there are interest groups which get together. And spiritually speaking, there are groups of people who get together who like to do yoga. There are others who like to do meditation. There are others who like to do some bhajan. My cousin even runs such a group in Colorado. There are groups of people who come together because they have a common interest, not because they belong to something or they believe in something, but because they have a common interest which they serve together. Well, I also don't necessarily agree that we should dismiss the family as unimportant. Maybe because of being old-fashioned, I feel that the family is still the center of your life. For after all, the way you have been influenced and the way you have grown up with that support of love, if it was there, is very essential in your life. So the family is always going to remain, at least for a lot of people, the center of one's life. But for many people, family is a painful memory because of the way they were treated as children. So one cannot make that an absolute rule. For me personally, I think that reconnecting with family has been a very important thing for me. And I personally feel very happy about doing it. But I guess it's individual. Any other questions? Anyone wants to speak there in the TACOMF? Okay. I am sorry, I don't get the exact question. In one sentence, just give me the question. Oh, I see. You mean to say that she wants to know about the situation when they repeat what it is that we're supposed to get out of it. Well, I don't really understand the wording. Impetus for progress? I mean, why, when you're in the same situation again and again, what is the impetus to get out of it? Is that the question? Because I don't see any other question. I have somebody else who's trying to write me a letter with a question, but I haven't gotten the question yet, and I need it now. So just hit return so I get the question quick, whatever state of question it is. Otherwise, we're going to do a meditation today. I'm not sure what we're going to meditate about, but I've been asked to do a meditation, so we can just do a meditation. We don't have to do it about anything. What? Yes? Oh, yeah, that was nice. I remember that. Meditating alone for the sake of the world, I mean, it's okay, but such meditations, it's better done in groups or linked people. And I think, actually, that's a nice thing that we can meditate on today. Because of the situation today, I mean, there is this, in Iraq, 1,000 people killed just because somebody yelled there was a bomb. In Afghanistan, people are always having difficulties, and now reactions are coming in the form of these hurricanes and disasters, even here nearby. I think it would be good for us to meditate together and try to send good energy of healing to the earth, and especially to those souls who have been displaced by disasters, because a lot of them don't have any destinations, don't know where to go, don't know what to do. And if we can somehow give them some strength through our meditation, we might, in a small way, do that charity. And it's also good for us to help others. So, in this way, we can help to alleviate, in some form or another, perhaps even if only energetically, some of the suffering condition, and if also our meditation can help to resolve a conflict, I think it would be valuable for us and for them.